Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Anna Holt. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
Anna is chairwoman of Project Homeless Connect. This is the 10th year for Project Homeless Connect. So let's talk about first, what is Homeless Connect?
Project Homeless Connect is a one-day event that brings all available resources to one area for people that may be unhoused or housing vulnerable in the Jefferson City area. It is based off a national model.
Okay.
So this originally started in 2004 in San Francisco, California. And then it's been developed by various different places. So in Jefferson City, we do it once a year, always in the fall before it gets too cold. And we just bring all of the resources available together so
okay.
that they have access. So it will be Friday, September 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the 300 block of East Capitol.
All right. Right outside our front door.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you will join us, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what some of the services are. Then we're going to circle back and let's talk about who would be the beneficiaries of the services.
Okay. We have so many services. I've started a list here and I won't get them all, but they will have access to basic medical care from the community health center, as well as dental extractions from the community health center. Spiritual care will be offered by all the area pastors that participate. Vision screening and eyeglasses. They'll be able to get their Missouri birth certificates or start the process to get that, because as you know, you need that if you need an ID. If they need a mailing address or a mailbox, we'll help set them up with that. Employment services, HIV and AIDS testing, access to Medicaid, food stamps, housing, counseling, and perhaps placement. And then bus passes, haircuts. The list goes on and on. A hot meal, which
okay.
will be provided by Sweet Smoke for the second year in a row.
Nice.
So we're excited about that. Good barbecue.
Yeah. So who does this ministry cater to?
Absolutely. Our audience is anybody who is unhoused or housing vulnerable here in Jefferson City. And actually even the surrounding communities. We have seen people from California even. We don't get as many from Columbia, but our surrounding communities as well.
So let's go a little bit deeper into that. For a lot of folks, I think their view of the unhoused or the homeless, it's the same definition for everyone, but there are different iterations mm-hmm. of what it means to be unhoused right. or housing vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about the unhoused.
Mm-hmm. So the unhoused, you don't have a permanent place to lay your head at night. You may be sleeping in a tent in the woods, you may be sleeping on a corner or in brush somewhere, but you just don't have a permanent place. In fact, you may even be sleeping on a friend's couch, and it may change from day to day, depending on that friend and how long you're allowed to be there.
In Jefferson City right now, ballpark idea of how many people would qualify as unhoused?
So we estimate right now that there's approximately 40 unhoused individuals, but that number can fluctuate. It changes, I'm sure, on a day-to-day basis as people, mm-hmm. you know, we are right here at the Capitol with the train station and the bus stop and, you know, people come and go. It's very transient. So
sure.
I'm sure that number changes on a daily basis.
Does it change seasonally?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We work with Jefferson City Room at the Inn, and we could talk more about that later. But we see during the winter time that we will have either more or less. A lot of times people will be looking to go someplace warmer.
Right.
Because obviously, Missouri, we're very cold here.
Yes.
And so,
can be.
Yeah. And so we did see that a lot in previous seasons with Room at the Inn, that they would be here for a short period and then move on to warmer climates.
Okay. So when you talk about the unhoused, the 40 or 50 mm-hmm. that we reference here, is there a geographic area where they congregate specifically, or is it spread throughout the city?
I would say it's probably spread throughout the city, but we do have a majority of them here in the downtown area. There are some just different points, usually along the bus route. I have seen some as far west as Capitol Mall area, so I know that they're there, but again, along bus routes.
Yeah. What are the services or the needs that a person who's unhoused would need
mm-hmm.
regularly?
Regularly, they're going to need some way to get hygiene, you know, showering, clean clothes, just for their basic needs. If you look at what our basic needs are, food, shelter, those sorts of things. Then beyond that, maybe they need a job to have income to provide housing. Then they need affordable housing that has to be available. So there are so many needs that come into that, but just our basic needs are food, shelter.
Which it strikes me, that's something that's unique about Homeless Connect is it's not trying to address those immediate needs, but it's trying to position them, as, at least that's my perception, so that they can succeed. For instance, some sort of identification, healthcare issues, things like that, that would better position them to be able to succeed.
Absolutely. That is our goal. We do address those immediate needs if we can. I will say we no longer provide showers. That used to be something we provided at every Homeless Connect. But if you're not aware, First United Methodist Church offers showers when they are open. So that was something we took out of our offering every year. Yeah. But they can go Monday through Friday if they needed to.
Sure.
But we do, again, provide food. So basic need, you know, clothing if they need to. There will be clothing vouchers available.
So the housing vulnerable, how would one define that?
You know, I define housing vulnerable as anybody who may be at risk of losing their home or perhaps already has lost their home and maybe living with family members, maybe in a multiple family home or multiple friend home or whatever that looks like. They are people who maybe next week won't have a permanent house, but for right now they do. And they're just that one step away. We hear stories all the time. I'm in healthcare, so I hear, you know, I got sick and then couldn't go to work. So I lost my job and, you know, I was in the hospital, but now after being out, I can't pay my rent. You know, those stories happen all the time and they're very common.
Yeah. So how many of the housing vulnerable would one estimate is in Jefferson City now?
So I will tell you, last year, Project Homeless Connect, we served 196 guests at our event. If we're estimating 40 to 50 are unhoused, then the rest of those I would say are housing vulnerable.
Okay. So how are the services different that Homeless Connect provides for the housing vulnerable versus the unhoused?
Yeah, absolutely. So perhaps maybe I need a new job. We will have employment services there. Perhaps maybe I just need to get my medical issues addressed so I can get back to work. They can get access to health care there. Project Homeless Connect pays the bill for all of those health needs met on that particular day. And we've partnered with Tolson Drug to provide the prescriptions if they need anything that day.
That sounds like a lot of resources and a lot of bodies to pull this
absolutely
off. So it's volunteer driven.
Absolutely.
How many volunteers are we
so talking about? We average about 200 every year. Currently, we're still in need. We need about 80 more. We had a training last night over at First United Methodist, and I told them every year this community pulls through for us. So I'm not concerned. We're a week out. Go out to our Facebook sign up. We will get it. Our community shows up. So,
okay. So what does one need to do to volunteer? I mean, you're not going to, if I'm volunteering, I don't have to do a medical exam or something,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely not.
There are things built for everybody.
Absolutely. We have something for everybody. Yeah. First, our sign up is a sign up genius. I think everybody's familiar with those at this point. It's on Facebook. There's full descriptions on what's needed for each role.
Yeah.
We have some where you can sit. We have one example, receptionist position for our pastors. That person will help coordinate their schedule for the spiritual care that day. It's a seated position. You don't have to go anywhere and you just have to be able to go, oh, this pastor is available. He can see you now or she can see you now. We have positions from that to runners. Yeah. And runner is what it is. We need you to get meals to people that may be working or maybe we need water in this church. You're going to run water there, but they're just running and being the legs of the day. And then set up and take down. Those are huge. Setup starts on Thursday, actually. This all starts Thursday afternoon, setting up the tables and the chairs and getting everything positioned. And then we have to take it all down.
You know, I'm recalling a few years ago, we had some staff members and myself volunteered. And one of our roles was just to escort folks from one station to another because it can be overwhelming trying to find where they need to go. And it offered opportunities to just have a conversation with someone.
Absolutely.
Right?
So that is our largest need is what we call a tour guide.
Yeah.
And so tour guides are there if a guest would like one. They are not required to have one, but just to help them get to the stations that they need to. Again, in our training last night, I talked to the tour guides about very first thing, try to gauge what they're needing from the day. Gauge their literacy level. One guide shared her experience last year that she realized her guest could not read, but that was very far into their day. And she probably would have done the day differently if she'd figured that out beforehand. So just get to know them. You know, there's a meal provided for everyone that comes, including volunteers. So maybe you have lunch with your guest before they leave for the day, and just get to know them and learn they're just people like us.
Sure. So, Anna, what would you say to someone who's sitting on the fence? They're available to help, mm-hmm. but maybe they just feel a little uncomfortable or just don't know really what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So very first thing, if you're more comfortable bringing a friend, bring a friend. We will welcome you. And if you just want to come and just be there to see how it all works, absolutely come do that. I always encourage people, if you reach out through our Facebook page, I'm usually the one that's going to answer you. Okay. You can come sit with me or talk to me, or I will call you. We will help you, whatever questions you have, and answer them. As well as our last training opportunity is Thursday before the event on the 26th.
Okay.
Come and ask all the questions you want. See the space. We will show you around and try to ease all of your concerns or anxieties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming there's a level of, if you can only donate an hour or two.
Absolutely.
You could certainly plug mm-hmm. in at that point.
Absolutely. We will take what we can get. We're yeah. not going to turn anybody away.
Right.
So yeah, if you've got 30 minutes and all you can do is fold t-shirts for us for the volunteers, come. I'd rather you spend that 30 minutes than I could probably go run water while yeah. you do that. So,
okay.
yeah, we'll All find right. something for everybody.
Okay. So remind us again of the time and location.
Absolutely. September 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it'll be in the 300 block of East Capitol. There will be a pep rally at 9 o'clock outside in the street. It's just to get everybody excited for the day and kind of yeah. tell you about the day.
Well, and it's a great day. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's amazing that it's the 10-year anniversary mm-hmm. of it. And it's just incredible the amount of good work this group of volunteers has done every year. Absolutely. So before we jump off of here, mm-hmm. though, we're going to talk about something else coming up mm-hmm. that you mentioned. We are almost in the beginning of fall.
Uh-huh.
I hate to say this, but colder weather is coming, yes. Anna. There's a great mission that begins during the inclement weather mm-hmm. time of the year. And so tell us a little bit about Room at the Inn.
Okay. So I actually probably want to step back a step and just tell you how Room at the Inn kind of came about.
Sure.
Several years ago, about 4 years ago, Project Homeless Connect ended. And there was a group of us that said, homelessness and housing vulnerable doesn't end after we leave here today. So who wants to do something?
Yeah.
And so that group, we all came together and we formed Housing the Community Jefferson City. And so this is now our 501c3 umbrella organization. Project Homeless Connect falls under there, and so does Jefferson City Room at the Inn.
Okay.
And so that was one of our projects we started. It is a cold weather shelter, so we're not open year round.
Okay.
It is 100% volunteer driven. We count on volunteers to man it, to bring food. They support our wish list. It's wonderful. It will be open, I believe. I'm not the chair of that part. I believe it's December 1st,
okay.
but don't quote me on that.
All right.
Check their Facebook to be sure.
Okay.
And it will be open until probably March yeah. When it gets cold, maybe mid-February.
Yeah.
But it's a low barrier shelter, so guests can come even if they've been drinking or they're on drugs. So we do encourage our volunteers take part in our de-escalation training,
mm-hmm.
and that's offered free of charge. That's awesome, right? Free education?
Absolutely.
Why not? I found, though, most people want just a warm place to lay their head at night,
yeah.
and you don't have a lot of issues. Now that we've moved to First Baptist Church, we can now house 20 individuals
okay.
during that time.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're excited.
So kind of walk us through. Mm-hmm. So if a homeless person comes there, they report to First Baptist Church mm-hmm. around what time?
Doors open at 7 p.m.
Okay.
Now, volunteers need to be there a little bit earlier to set up, usually about 5:45, 5:30, just to make sure everything's set up. And they'll come, they'll get checked in. We do secure bags and belongings. So they're allowed to keep like their cell phone, maybe if they have some food items they've brought in, but they cannot keep open beverages. They cannot keep a backpack. We lock all those items up because again, we're a low barrier shelter. We don't know what people are bringing in
right.
and we want to keep everybody safe. They're pretty comfortable with that because they've come to trust us after 3-4 years of yeah. doing this. So we lock it all up and they get it when they leave the next morning. But they will come in, get checked in, be assigned a bed to sleep in, and then there will be a meal that started more regularly last season. In the seasons before, volunteers would randomly bring them in, but
yeah.
That was added to the sign-up genius, and now we've seen it consistently. They'll have dinner, and then lights out will happen. I want to say it's around 9 or 10 o'clock. And then they'll sleep. Next morning, get up, someone will bring breakfast, and okay. then out the door by 7.
And so you do that, it's all volunteer driven
mm-hmm.
and it's teams. It's not like one volunteer stays
no.
does mm-hmm. check in and check out. So nope. can you explain how that
so, yep,
works?
It is in shifts, just like Project Homeless Connect. There will be an evening shift that starts with a setup and then goes through, I believe it's 11 o'clock. And then 11 o'clock to 5 a.m. is the overnight shift, which is a great time to catch up on reading. You have mm-hmm. your flashlight or a movie on your phone.
Yeah.
Or I always bring my laptop and do work. And then from 5 to 7 is the morning crew who gets breakfast, gets it cleaned up and everybody out the door.
So is it too early to start signing up?
I don't believe their Sign Up Genius is active yet. They will announce that when it's active, probably around November.
Okay.
It will be active. And then absolutely go in and sign up. They're hoping this year to get people to be more consistent with their shifts. Maybe I could do every Monday evening or... I like Sunday mornings. Honestly, I love the weekend mornings. It's great. Good opportunity to get to know people as they get up and ready for the day.
Sure.
Yeah, that's usually my time. Then hop on down to High Rise for brunch afterwards.
There you go. There you go. And as we wrap this up, I guess my last question would be for you. When topics of the unhoused, homeless occur around the community, it can be a point of consternation or a point of hope, right? So what would you say to those folks who are listening about how we as a city should be engaged with our unhoused community?
So I always tell everybody, first and foremost, educate yourself about the unhoused or the housing vulnerable in our city. We're only scared of what we don't know about. So educate yourself. Maybe just come in and volunteer one day. Get to know what's happening. And that will make it so much easier for you to understand what's happening. And maybe we can all work together on compassionate solutions.
Yeah. All right. Well, Anna, thank you for joining us today.
Can I throw out one more thing that I forgot? I have one shout out. Our Amazon wish list for Project Homeless. We did this for the first time this year, and this community was awesome and cleared it all. So all of our backpacks will be filled by everything from the community this year. So we appreciate that.
That is great news.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.